Praise God. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the who? Children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now that's big. That's big right there. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glory, the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Right now. As we get closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see that systems and the things of darkness are going to have to come in line with heaven's government. That you're going to see now that thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth or in earth as it is where? In heaven. So we're going to actually be able to be a part of this that the whole creation is waiting for. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we talk about sons of God, we're not talking about, again, a gender, but we're talking about a mature offspring of people. That these offspring of people that are coming, they're going to have answers. We're going to be problem solvers. We're going to see problems in a whole new light. We're going to see them as opportunities for promotion. And we're going to have the problem solver in us. So things are going to happen through us that are going to be dynamic for this world. They're going to be looking for you. God is going to make you a showpiece for the world. Say amen to that. All right, so as we look at this, just want to make sure I got some of my notes here. As we look at this, that the Holy Spirit in these last days has now started his ministry. In other words, the ministry of Christ has been duly and completely handed over now to the person of the Holy Ghost. And so now the Holy Ghost is here, and he's administrating God's plan in this earth. And you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost and empowered by the Holy Ghost to really do exploits or supernatural things in these last days. Now, the theme of justice is going to be a central theme in these last days, meaning that justice is going to be vital to kingdom manifestation. Now let's go back and see this. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, when you're talking about the kingdom of God, again, you're talking about his government. And when you're talking about God's government, you're talking about this sovereignty of God. Sovereign really means ain't nobody bigger than me. You know, I mean, just if you want to have that kind of, it means God is sovereign. He is, man was not created to be sovereign. Mankind was created to have an overlord. That's why if God is not his overlord, Satan takes over. And because he's created that way. And so in this, This kingdom now is coming to earth, and a vital part of this kingdom is a word called justice. Now, the kingdom of God includes, of course, the tangible things. The earth is a kingdom. You see angels, they are part of the kingdom. Well, the church is a part of the kingdom. And when he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, over in Matthew 16, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Jesus was two things. One, prophesying his departure. But now he was speaking prophetically about this institution called the church, which will be his body. And that his body now is in the earth to execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Lord have mercy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen right now. But his body is in the earth. But the body has to grow up. He can't put a full-size head on a little girl body. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just saying the church, he's got to get a head that matches a body. The church has to grow up so Jesus will have a place to lay his head. Y'all flowing with me now? Okay, all right. Now, in this, I said that vengeance and recompense is a grown folk message. It's for grown folks. And when I say grown folks, I'm not talking about chronological age. I'm talking about age of spiritual maturity. Now, when we come in, all of us come in, praise God, we come in, we get excited about Jesus, we got saved, and so forth. But God doesn't want you to just stay in that particular level of development, that he's got some things that you've got to do. And what has happened sometimes is we preached a salvation-only gospel, meaning that just get saved and that's it. And that's the vertical. You just want to make heaven your home, brothers. That's praise God. But that's not the horizontal. The cross has got a vertical and a horizontal. And the horizontal is to reach out and be able to establish things here in this earth while you're here. Say amen to that. But to do that, you're going to have some degree of maturity about your own life if you're going to go out and share this life with other people. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot share Christ in any form, any time in your spiritual continuum. But the point of it is that for you to go out and really take care of business on the level that God wants you to, you're going to have to grow up. So what we did say is that there were three levels. One was the lowest level, where we said that people are constantly struggling. They win a few, lose a few, usually lose more than they win, and they constantly suffering setbacks. Now, I'm not talking about anybody. This is not the time for that. I'm trying to give you some definitions here so we can locate ourselves, because we're going to move out. Everybody in here going to be grown up. We're going to have grown up folks up in here. And so now I'm saying that because, you know, get married. They've been saved for 40 years, and now they need marriage counseling. Now, what kind of deal is that? I mean, you follow what I'm saying. I'm saying, now, I'm not against marriage counseling. I'm just saying it should be that we should be counseling other folk. Now, we should get saved and want to develop to the point that we don't become a prayer project ourselves. Can I get an amen on that? And so my encouragement is for the people to grow up. That's why I don't have a prayer line and all that on the broadcast. Because I need you to grow up. I need you to teach you how to pray for you, how to pray for your household, how to pray for your sister. Say amen to that. So we're out to do that. So what I'm saying is not win a few, lose a few. We want to win all the time. And I quoted General George Patton, how he said that the object of a battle is not for you to give your life for your country, but to make the other guy give their life for his. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to get somebody to get their life. My point to you is he is saying, wait a minute, you're supposed to be moving forward. If you keep dying out like that, how are you going to really establish anything? So I'm saying for us here, the lowest level is the win a few, lose a few. I'm still struggling. I'm still going through, brother, et cetera, so forth, so on. Now we're gonna get you through. Don't think I'm coming down on you, because you hang with me, we're gonna get you through. Listen, I have made up my mind. I'm gonna get you to the goal line. I'm gonna get you to the finish line. I have made up my mind. You might come kicking and screaming. Before it's all over, you might hate my guts, but you're gonna get across the line. You're gonna get across that line, and you're gonna love it once you get across there. All right, then the second level we talked about is the Christian who apply biblical principles, but what we're doing is we're just trying to live right. We're trying to hold a line. We're just trying to stay saved. And just make it so that, hey, I don't want to lose this salvation. I got saved now. I don't want to lose this. Well, those kind of Christians you'll find, they don't want to go out and work in the marketplace. All of them want to work for the church. And they want to work for the church because, you know, they don't cuss up in the church, you know, usually. They don't cuss up in the church and so forth. And they want to work for that. They want to stay in an environment that's real safe. They don't want to go out there and step on out there and do some things out there where people who are walking in darkness, people who might need them one day to pray for them, people, they don't want to do that because they're trying to stay safe. They're trying to keep their clothes from being contaminated by the influences of the society. You know what I mean? Well, see, you can step right into that and it won't even affect you if you know who you are. See? Say amen to that. Jesus said, go ye into all the where? World, not church. Go into all the world. Say amen to that. So I'm just saying, you need to feel good about going into the darkness. Because when you come in, light is coming in with you. You coming in and something up in here got to change. That's where you coming from. Say amen to that. And God has ways to get things in, see? He has the different, and you're going to have saints in Hollywood and saints in the scientific labs and NASA and saints all over. It's like a Trojan horse. You ever heard of a Trojan horse? And they loaded that horse down with something and then pushed it in the gates, and folks thought it was just a horse. But people jumped out of it and took the whole fort. Say amen to that. See, God got to sneak us in there under the cloak of, you follow what I'm saying? And then at the appointed time, you'll put your head up and say, praise the Lord, and then duck your head back down and keep walking. But just being there, you're gonna change things. Just being in Forest Park, we change things. We didn't take a big 10-pound Bible in there and say, you sinner. I remember when I didn't know all of this. Here I was, I'm saved. I'm just exuberant and just, you know, zealous for God. I'm gonna street preach, and I'm going out here this day. I'm gonna street preach over in this parking lot where this supermarket is, and I'm preaching out there, and I got that Bible. I said, you ain't listening to me. You're going to hell. That's what you're going to do, and you're going to burn in the lake of fire. I mean, I'm bringing out the double barrel, buddy. And then a lady came out of the grocery store. She was in the checkout counter. She worked there. She came out, and she came all the way across that parking lot. I remember. I saw her coming when she was coming. She got to me and she said, excuse me, Reverend? I said, yeah. She said, you know, I believe if you'll get some of them saved if you were just a little nicer. I said, are you going to hell? That was wrong. That was wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? I wasn't getting none of them saved. The Bible says the world is condemned already. They don't need nobody to condemn them. They need to know about the love of God. They need to know that when they come in this, all their sins are wiped out. Right. Say amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm just staying in here because I don't want to get none of that on my clothes, boy. No. Go into all the world. Go right on in there. Right up in there. So we're going to have saints in the military, and saints in right up every place where people are. You're going to have people of God. Isn't this wonderful? But then the last level is that level where people realize that their job is taken from Luke chapter 19. Go on over there with me, please. Luke chapter 19. This describes what they are all about. This is the sons of God, the mature people. I didn't cover Hebrews chapter 10 because I'm coming back to it. Luke chapter 19. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 19 with your smart self. Are you with me? Verse 12. And he said, therefore, this is Jesus talking. How do I know it's Jesus? Because it's in the red. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what? Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. So what are we saying now? That we're going into places of darkness. And as we go into places of darkness, God's going to use you to bring a different culture. All of a sudden, when people are running down somebody, you're not going to participate. Come on now. All of a sudden, somebody get mad and cuss somebody out, you don't participate. And I'm telling you, they'll know something's different about you if you just don't cuss. Okay, all right, I'm going to just leave that right there. Now, what am I saying? You're pressing forward, taking ground, establishing something that they've never seen before, establishing an honest environment, an environment full of integrity, an environment that when people say something to you, they'll keep their word. They don't have to have 50 lawyers with them and 75,000 contracts, but they'll keep their word with what they say. People are looking for that. The whole earth is waiting on that, the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for it. They don't know how to get it and can't get it without God, but you're the ones that have God and can take them into that reality. So they're waiting for it. And when you do that, you'll see that people are going to press into the kingdom. They're going to want to know, where is this that you're doing? How did you change like this? And they're going to want to know, and they'll come to Christ. So you are a platform that God is going to be using to do some, make some changes in the earth. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, now, as we go further, I want you to understand that, come on back to Hebrews chapter 10, please. I want you to understand this, that for the most part, the enemy, Satan, the devil, has been in control of things. And the one thing that you and I are to do is to take it back. Jesus redeemed the world. Now we are to reclaim the world. So we're reclaiming what he redeemed. Now, what I covered last time with you, I'm going to cover a couple of things. And I want to go to this over here, Daniel chapter 4. I didn't go to it last time. But I said that sin has to do with disobedience. It's an act. And it's a spiritual side of things. And it works in the spirit. And it's the literal term sin means to miss the mark. That's what it means. Now, if I take my shoe and put it down in mud, and I explained this to you last time, but I want to go further, then that mud will make a print. Now, Jesus came, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus came and removed the foot. But what's left? The print. Got it? And the print is called iniquity. So you had this part that Jesus removed, but now the print needs to be erased. Because people are controlled by that print. Y'all hanging in here? All right, for example, I just notice that sometimes I go in places and I see people sing, and they sing out of brokenness, even in church. It's sad. It's always talking about struggling. Now, understand why. Because the sin has been removed, but the print is still in there. And they're singing out of this print. You took a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Nobody knows. I ain't making fun now. The trouble I see. Nobody but you and about 5 billion other people. I want you to hear me, because I'm not making fun. That might be your old song, and some of these songs might make you cry. But they're designed to do that.
Right. Come on.
And all of a sudden, when we get people like Donald Lawrence and all them, and they're making songs with life to it, they're making songs with joy to it, and so forth. People say, well, now where is this coming from? It's coming from a erased footprint. See, I can't fix you if I'm broke. People are waiting on this. Bishop Oedipo, who's coming here, he's got 3 services on Sunday morning, each one of them 55,000. And you wait till you hear him. No brokenness. Zero. And people are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting on that message.
Come on, preacher.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. You got a person that's got a broken spirit. Lord have mercy. Y'all got time for this? Go over here with me to Proverbs chapter 24, I think it is. Yeah, listen to it. Ain't no joy in there. I'm coming back to, didn't I tell you I'm coming back to Hebrews? Now, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying this is where we've got to go. Say amen to this. Look what it says here in 25. This is Proverbs 25. If you have it, say amen if you're there. Verse 28, the last verse. He that has no rule over his own spirit, it's like a city that is broken down and without walls. Folks, let me tell you something. That's why I got to bring you in here and get you healed. Because if your emotions are still damaged, you can't be trusted.
That's right. That's right.
You watch and see. That's why it's telling you. It's telling you that, hey, you don't have any walls. And Satan can come in and out at will.
That's good.
Are you following what I'm saying? We got to get you emotionally over your past. I didn't say not remember it. Get you emotionally over it. So it won't control you anymore. You can call me a name, but I won't even look at you. And the reason why I won't look at you, because that ain't my name. Come on now. And they didn't mean any harm, but when it was time to come and get this building, and it, you know, they, well, Pastor, you know, they don't want to have a black man. I said, well, who are you talking to? Well, we're talking to you. No, you ain't talking to me. See, because I read here where no man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. And I took that and I fixed all that which told me that except you a black man. Now, now stay with me now, cause you can't stop me cause of my color. You can't stop me, man. Try to stop me. You can't, you ain't saying a chance. You kidding me? And I'm not just talking about color now, I'm talking about even your kind. Come on now, they tried to stop me from getting that bank. They met on me and so forth. I'm talking about us. And look here, still couldn't stop me. Why? Because I read the book. I ain't broken no more. Man, this thing, I'm healed. Say amen to this. The whole world is waiting for these kind of folks. Now you done cried about that enough. Now get over it. Come on now, come on, come on, get over it. Why? So we can put some power in your life. See, whenever the thing don't go down right, then I just take it to the judge. Now, I'm not talking about down in Cook County. Come on, turn with me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 33. Come on, you need to be that way now because you still trying to trip off of who they say you are. Who did God say you are? I said, who did he say you are? He said, you are his child. Say amen to that. He said, you're a king. Didn't he say that? He said, you are even rich. Come on, didn't he say that? See, nobody can stop you but you. And when I learned that, I stopped tripping off the race thing. Because it's always going to be somebody that don't like you. Say amen. Your cousin don't like you. You just don't know it. She ain't told you about it. Say amen, somebody. Man, you tripping. And even when I was raised, you know, you had dark, and then you had brown, and then you had high yellow. And come on now. And some of them didn't like the other one, didn't like, man, they tripping. Come on now, come on. It's always somebody that can't stand you. That's not your problem. That's their problem. Now, when you got a real problem and you got a problem, let's say you got a problem with the government, you know that you just been used and abused, you know that some things went down, they just treated you unfairly, and the court system did so forth and so on. You said, wait a minute now, that's not right. Now you got vengeance and recompense. Now, I know you got Isaiah 33, put something right there, and let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 right quick and read that. Are y'all with me? Come on now, how many believers I got up in here? How many people believe what I'm saying? See, somewhere, yeah, amen, you're going to have to stop being manipulated by the enemy who's behind all of it. God is for unity. Satan is for division. The spirit of racism is rooted in the spirit of division.
Preach that thing, Pastor.
Amen.
You're going to come into church and all kind of folk going to be in the church. You got brothers and sisters in China. Walking, kong, kong, king, kong, ma, kong. You don't even know what they're saying, but they kin to you.
Right.
They are your brothers and sisters. Come on now. And you got to watch going to them family reunions. It's all right to go, but don't drop who you are now.
Right.
Don't get in there and get back onto that thing. And they, you start, you know. Now, girl, why are you calling yourself the Lord? You know you baby. You know you baby. All right. Well, don't cause no problem, but understand who you are. Don't lose your, say amen to this. It just making sense to you. Now, I'm not talking about just Shaquita, whatever it is. Just know who you are. Now, wait a minute now. Is this making sense or am I just, okay, all right. Now, I'm trying to make this practical. I just told you, the footprint is still there. When the footprint is still there, the Satan can still manipulate you. When you need to get the church is come into this earth to get all footprints out. That's why the church is here. But you can't heal nobody if you're sick. You got to get over it, folks. You got to get over it. Amen. I can say a whole lot more about that. But I don't. Because I say too much, your wig will turn around. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, let's look at this. Now, don't get mad at that. See that? I'm giving you a chance now. How did you see that? Don't get mad at that, see? You got to make up your mind right now. Hey, I don't care. My wig is all right. I'm cool just like I am. I'm good. Okay, how we doing? We doing okay? All right. Where did I tell you to turn? Hebrews 10. Okay, or Hebrews 10. All right. Praise God. Yeah, we got to get over some of this stuff, man. God has already told you who you are. Man. Now, verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall do what? Judge who? His people. All right. Now turn back to Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter, what did I tell you? 33. All right. And it's Isaiah chapter 33. It says, is somebody over there trying to say something? Okay. Well, I'm working here. Okay, look what it says in Isaiah chapter 33. Okay, verse 22. For the Lord is our who? Judge. The Lord is our who? Lawgiver. The Lord is our who? King. And what will he do? He will give us the victory. Okay? Now, the Lord will tell the heathen what to do. When I say heathen, I mean people who don't know God. Don't ever think people run this system. The enemy is behind trying to make it ungodly, but God is behind. He can override everything. Say amen. Isn't this wonderful? He can override everything. And that's I'm putting my trust in him. I said, I'm putting my trust in him. So what did I say about vengeance? What is it? Vengeance is not some retaliation. I'm mad at somebody. I'm going to get back you. I'm going to see you at 3 o'clock. You just wait till 3 o'clock. That's not vengeance. Vengeance has nothing to do with hate. It has nothing to do with some kind of emotional resentment, which people have because they're broken inside. It has nothing to do with some kind of emotional retaliation. What vengeance is necessity of punishing offenders, and it comes and proceeds out of the love for justice for God. God loves justice. And so vengeance comes out of that. Now, he said that vengeance belongs to who? him, God. It belongs to God. So your days of trying to retaliate and get even with somebody are over. From now on, God is going to fight your battles for you. I said, from now on, God is going to fight your battles for you. Now, if you're born again, Satan knows that he stole something from you. He knows that. But God promised you recompense. What is recompense? Recompense means to compensate or to pay damages. It means to make amends for something that you suffered. God is going to make sure that what you suffered, he's going to make amends for it and get them to restore you and compensate you for whatever you went through, including humiliation. Say amen to that. Now, what do you have to do? You've got to trust this. You've got to trust it. Why do I say that? Because Adam fell, and immediately after Adam fell in the garden, the immediate effect was selfishness. In other words, it became a battle of self-defense. In other words, Adam, why did you eat this? The woman you gave me, that's who did it. And so my point to you is no longer are you engaged in a self-defense strategy. God is going to fight your battles for you. You go and take it to the judge of heaven and earth, because he's the judge, he's the lawgiver, and he is the king. Now, he will change laws, and he will put one up and take another one down. Now, you got to see that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4, if you will. I just want you to see how powerful your God is. And the reason why I want you to see that is because if you understand vengeance, understand and what it is, that it will significantly change your attitude and your behavior. In other words, things that you've been worrying all night about, you will not worry about them anymore, because everything that is prepared for you, God's going to see that it comes to you. Say amen to that. And whatever the enemy has planned for your life or even holding back out of your life is breaking forth today. Whatever it's coming forth today. So I'm saying this, God is commanding Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? Because there is a set time that God is going to use you in this earth. And I want to make you understand that according to, hold your hand right there at Daniel chapter 4, but up there on the screen, would you put Psalm 105 and verse 37 for the people see, so I can talk about that for just a minute. Look what it says here in Psalm 105 verse 37. He brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold, and there was not what? One feeble person among their tribe. Now, what am I telling you now? I'm telling you that God is going to bring you out, and you're not coming out empty. That God is going to make sure that whatever they've robbed you of, you won't get it back. And he's saying to you that recompense is not just money. Recompense is also whatever the enemy robbed you of, including your health. He's going to restore that. Say amen to that. So whatever you've been battling with in sickness, you coming out. Let me tell you, folks, we had a young man in here Wednesday night, and he came in here on a stretcher and came in here, and I gave the message on faith. The place got so full of faith you could cut it with a knife, but he came on a stretcher because he had 3 cracked vertebrae and he couldn't walk, but they took him. When I called for people to be born again, he came up and stood at the altar on the crutches with his brother holding him up, and I said the sinner's prayer. Well, once you say that, you qualify. And once he did that, I went over to him. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, my vertebrae. Well, I had gotten a phone call. He was going to be sent here. They drove him from Michigan. Then God said, Holy Ghost, what to do? He said, go around the back of him
and just lay one hand right in line with the other down his vertebrae and speak health and command creative miracles to come in there. I did it just like now. I'm not taking no credit. I'm telling you, we're in the days of vengeance and recompense. And I did it, and the next thing you know, I said, lift your arms. I'm following the Holy Ghost. Lift your arms. Lift them on up. Lift them on up. His brother was standing there helping him lift them. Then he let him go. Then I let him go. Then he lifted them all the way up. Then he stood up straight. Then he started jumping up and down. I'm telling you, this was a notable miracle. There was no doubt about this one. I'm saying, if he'll do it for that brother, he'll do it for any member of his family, because God is beautifying the church. He's going to make it so that you're going to walk like God, talk like God, think like God, act like God, and this is your day for deliverance. Say amen, amen, and amen. Most folk won't even bring folks on a gurney. I'm a little embarrassed. Hey, for what? The devil did it. We gonna turn the work around. Jesus already redeemed him. Now let's restore him. Say amen to that. This is where you need to go. There's a higher court. When you're not satisfied with the judge of the courts of this earth, because many of them have been affected by the darkness of this system. Don't blame the people, blame Satan. He's behind it. But you come with another judge. Said, I know the judge of heaven and earth, and he will judge in my defense. He'll overturn anything that's been turned the wrong way. Isn't this good? Now, this is a message. But when you understand vengeance, you understand now you have just stepped into a time that you are immune to accidents.
Yes, sir.
I use a big word. Anybody remember the big word that I... What did I say? Impervious. Nothing can hurt you. You may as well just go get on the airplane and go to sleep, because you will arrive at your destination. Come on. Say amen to that. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, you shall be trees of righteousness. That means people are going to be able to spot you in airports, in bus stations, everywhere. They're going to be able to distinguish you. God has your name in the paper. He's doing something with you right now. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you're about to come to meetings that every time saints get together, miracles going to break out. Why? Because we're going home. Heaven is our home, and heaven is coming to earth. There is no sickness in heaven. Am I right about it? Now, what do I have you right now? I got to finish up. Daniel chapter 4. Now, Daniel chapter 4 is kind of interesting. I won't get all the way into that because I'm really out of time. No, I got 1 minute, 53 seconds. Flo, I got 1 minute and 48 seconds. What happened was Belshazzar or Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he thought he was, can I just use our expressions? He thought he was all that. Y'all know what I mean by I said all that. Okay. And he wanted somebody to interpret the dream for him. He had a dream or had a vision. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king. And they shall drive thee from men, and they and thy dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as an ox. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whosoever, come on, he will.
God will give it to whosoever. Come on. He will. I don't know where you get this idea that God is no longer in control of nothing. But he needs you to execute it through. So whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree, roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do what? Rule. Now what happened? After he told Nebuchadnezzar that, look at verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, this is after 12 months after you've had all this experience and Daniel's interpretation. He walked in the palace of the kingdoms of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. Boy, when God speaks, you can just take it, just go on home, because that's all need to be said. And look what it said, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass like an ox, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. Notice what that voice said. It said the same thing that Daniel said. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is going to rise up in you, and you'll say a word, and whatever you say is the same word God is saying. He just needed you to say it before he could perform it. Then the same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws or talons. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is in everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation, come on, to generation. I'm telling you, he'll know how to make anybody who is in a position, he'll know how to make them bow down, because before it's all over, every knee is going to have to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't ever thank somebody, I don't care who they are, what position they're in, they're too big for God. God can take one down and put up another before you blink an eye. Now, you don't lose faith in what God can do. Don't you think they're going to let this country and the nations of the earth go to hell. He ain't going to do it. If he got to change leadership, if he got to change senators, if he got to change congressmen, if he got to change the justices that sit at the Supreme Court, going to flip them over before you can wink an eye. He going to have his way, because thy kingdom come and thy will is going to be done. Give the Lord a praise. I'm through this time. Hey! Are we going to make it happen, saints? Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you. Ah, we hooked up with Almighty God. And nothing is too hard for God. You're going to represent him. And the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Did you get something out of this today? Amen. All right, if you're here and you know in your life that you're not right with God, that's what I'm saying now. And God is speaking to you during this service. Let me tell you something. That's good news. Well, that is proof that God wants you to be a part of His family. The sad news is if you don't hear nothing, if you don't feel any tug in your heart, that God wants you to be saved. Many times we try to push back because we're trying to do something ourselves. We say, well, let me come when I get my life together a little bit more. Let me tell you, without Him, you can't get it together a little bit more. You can't clean a fish till you catch it. Jesus was passing on the way, and He was a miracle worker. People have seen it. Fed 5,000 plus women and children with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Don't you think the word didn't get around? Man, sitting by a pool, 38 years, Jesus healed him. Another man on the street, crying loud, called blind Bartimaeus. Jesus gave him his eyesight. Another woman whose son, the only son she had, died in a city called Nain. Jesus said, drop that casket, and got him up. The same man I'm talking about was walking by, and a man was, the Bible says he was a tax collector, but he was chief of the publicans. That means he was chief of the tax collectors. Today it ought to be like head of the mafia. I mean, those tax collectors in those days not only collected taxes, but they seemed to rip off the people. There was no real justice in that system. And here was a man, his name was Zacchaeus. And he just, something in his heart said, I want to see this man. And so what he did is Jesus came by that way, down the road. People pushing on him, trying to get close to him. But he stopped and he looked up in the tree. And Zacchaeus had climbed the tree because the Bible says he was short in stature. He couldn't see over the people. But he wanted to get a good look at this man. And he said, Jesus said, Zacchaeus. Now that's the first miracle. He called his name. I'm saying, I don't care who you are and how low you lived, Jesus knows your name. And what happened? He said, come down, for today I would like to abide at your house. The Bible says it upset all of them, including the disciples. Why? Because he was going home with a tax collector and a sinner. Well, what happened? He got there. He introduced Zacchaeus to a whole new life. Zacchaeus said this, to show you that I'm converted, everything that I've stolen, I'm willing to give away half of what I've stolen. And those who I've stolen it from, I'll give them 4 times as much as I took them. He got saved. Now, what am I telling you? Jesus wants to go home with you today. Because this is your day for a miracle. And guess what? You are up a tree. You're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to make things work with that marriage. You're trying, whatever the case may be, we're all up a tree. I was up a giant tree. And let me tell you, he called my name. And the reason why he called your name is because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying if you know that's you today, come on, sister, just... If you know that that's you today and you know that God is speaking to your heart about coming to Jesus, coming and getting saved, get your sins blotted out, make a brand new start, get all this that I was talking about today, get this vengeance, recompense in your life, get it so that nobody can ever again treat you unjustly. If you're ready for that kind of life, He's ready to give it to you right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. And this is what I had to do. I had to hear his voice and obey him. If you're here and you know that you need this in your life, you know you're missing something, you don't have a relationship with God, I want to make sure that you leave here a changed person. He sent me here to pray for you. If you're ready for me to pray for you, I want to do it right now. Take a step of faith. I want you to get up out of your chair and come on up here and stand with me at this altar right now.